I'm Charlie Meyerson. Next up on Point of View is a poet with a premier portfolio and a passion for paleontology. It's Jeff Moss, co-creator of the Sesame Street TV show and, among so many other things, the man who wrote this classic song.
Oh, rubber ducky, you're the one. You make bath time lots of fun. Rubber ducky, I'm awfully fond of you.
Jeff Moss has been nominated for an Oscar for the songs in the movie The Muppets Take Manhattan, and he's now the author of a new collection called Bone Poems, a book of tributes to dinosaurs and other things prehistoric. Welcome to Point of View. It's great to meet you, and having cherished your work over the years, it's a pleasure to have you here in the studio.
Good to be here.
How did this book begin?
Well, this book began when people from the Natural History Museum in New York and people at Workman Publishing came and asked me if I would be interested in doing a hopefully humorous poetry book about the stuff there. And I have a son who's now six. He was then five. And as you can imagine, he was, when he was born, given a number of rubber ducks as presents, but by the time he was three, he had given them all up for rubber dinosaurs, which is what he took into his bathtub and was able to say all these long words that I had never heard of because I wasn't into dinosaurs when I was a kid. So when they asked me to write the book, you can imagine for that reason, I was very eager. I also live about as close as you can to the museum in New York, and so my son helped me and saw me researching, and he said, you know, Dad, before you started writing this book, he was five, he says, I knew more about dinosaurs than you did. He said, but now you're doing all this reading and stuff, you probably know more about them than I do, but when you finish the book, then I'll read it and we'll both know the same amount. I think the truth is he still definitely knows more than I do. But that was the combined inspirations.
Let's hear one.
All right. Poem's called Bones. It's quite short. It says, bones are important. They do a big job. Without them, you'd be just a big squishy blob. That's it.
The rhyming challenges, it seems to me, that you'd face in a book like this are stupendous. What do you consider, what was your greatest challenge and I guess presumably your greatest success?
Well, there are, when you're writing verse, you sometimes get very lucky, and I can give you a good example of, I certainly use a rhyming dictionary to help me, and every now and then you'll open it and say, oh my goodness, didn't I strike it rich here? The book is open, as I look at it, to a picture of a big kind of tough-looking dinosaur covered with armored plate called the Ankylosaurus. All covered with armor, the Ankylosaurus moved with a clunk and a clankylosaurus. He stood in a stream as he drankylosaurus and looked like an old army tankylosaurus. Of course, to be perfectly frankylosaurus, he had quite a low dino rankylosaurus. His small mind was often a blankylosaurus. His smell, sad to say it, he stankylosaurus. When down by the old river bankylosaurus, his young brother's tail he would yankylosaurus, and this naughty dinosaur prankylosaurus might well cause his parents to spankylosaurus. Time passed, and his high spirits sankylosaurus, as dinosaur numbers all shrankylosaurus. So now I'll say bye-bye and thankylosaurus, because that's all I know about ankylosaurus.
Point of View on WNUA 95.5. I'm Charlie Myers, and our guest is Jeff Moss, Sesame Street co-creator and the author of a new collection called Bone Poems, a tribute to dinosaurs, early mammals, and other old stuff. Well, I know you can't get away from it, and nor, I guess, would you want to, but of course we want to hear about Sesame Street. And what does that mean to be co-creator of Sesame Street?
Well, it means probably more now than to me anyway than it did back then. Back then, we were all in, or a lot of us were in our fairly early 20s, having a good time and working very hard. I think 29 years later, you can look back and have an understanding of what a once-in-a-lifetime experience really is, and I guess that's probably among the once-in-a-lifetime experiences that I've gone through. And I still work on the show a couple of months a year, and if anything, it's more fun for me now.
What was it? What was it like that? How did you get recruited, and what was your role when it came to the actual creation of the concept of the show?
I was the original head writer of the show. My first job out of college had been as a production assistant for another kid show called Captain Kangaroo.
Oh, we remember that. Yeah. Bob Keeshan was here several
All right,
months ago.
So great. So Bob was my first employer. And after having done that for a couple of years, I left. And then the call came from the people who were starting Sesame Street, and the Muppets were there. Joe Raposo, the musical director, myself, John Stone, who was the kind of the leading creative force, Jim and the Muppets. And it was a collaborative in the best possible sense, in that everybody's talents kind of complemented everybody else's talents, and we knew we were having a good time, and we knew we were doing something that we thought was pretty good. But if you had suggested that 29 years later it would still be on the air and going very strong, we might not have believed you.
What was it like at the beginning? I mean, day in, day out.
What you did was work so extraordinarily hard. I mean, nobody had kids. Very few were married. And it really was going from the typewriter to the studio. I was hired to write scripts. Joe Raposo was hired just to pick records for the show. And then it was discovered that because it was on public television at that time, there was no way to get the rights to use the songs, and as a result of that, we started writing them ourselves. And I can remember that first year, Joe walking down the halls of the offices with what was probably then one of the earliest handheld little tape recorders, and that showing what he and I had written the songs that week. He had written "It Isn't Easy Being Green," and I had written "Rubber Ducky," and certainly they weren't hits yet, but nonetheless, he was walking around saying, "Hey, look what Moss did, look what I did." It was to see the Cookie Monster come into creation and have helped that, to see the personality of Oscar the Grouch, to have your stuff, my music was performed by the Boston Pops Orchestra a year. I mean, it was just, it didn't stop, and it was just very, very exciting.
Defining moments in that those early days of Sesame Street. What were the key points that you remember, the most memorable events?
You know, I mean, they're never what you think they will be. I mean, I can remember when I realized how successful the show was. I hadn't, I needed to buy a shirt, and I hadn't bought a shirt in 3 years or whatever. And I went into some store and bought the shirt, and the salesman started talking. I said, "Where did you work?" Or maybe I was having to get a credit card approved. I don't know. And I said, "Well, it's called Children's Television Workshop. It's a children's television show." And he said, "Well, what is it called?" And I said, "Sesame Street." He said, "Sesame Street? Oh my God." Well, it made it to the shirt salesman. When Rubber Ducky became, a million selling hit, number nine on the charts, it was unreal. To have that much success is always unreal. But to have write a song about a guy in his tub with his rubber duck and have that be a hit is even slightly more unreal. Though when you listen to some of the songs that are hits today, perhaps not as unreal as I thought back then.
Hey, not on our radio station.
Right, okay.
It's Point of View on WNUA 95.5. I'm Charlie Meyerson. It's our honor to have in the studio this morning Jeff Moss, Sesame Street co-creator, the author of a new collection called Bone Poems, a tribute to dinosaurs, early mammals, and other things paleontological. Did I say that correctly?
There's a pronunciation guide in the back of the book. I'll have to check it out.
Inspired by New York's American Museum of Natural History.
What you should answer if some scientist comes up to you and says, "What do all proboscideans have in common? Noses like hoses." That's probably about as short as as a poem can be.
That's good.
I got one with a 33-word title on the next page if you want that.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
This is the longest title that I've come across. It's called "A Poem About One-Way Scientists Tell How Smart Our Ancestors Were. They measure the brain size by filling the skull with uncooked rice and then pouring the rice into measuring cups. Yuck." That's the title. The poem goes like this. The skull of a human 3 million years old would hold less than 2 cups of rice. The skull of a 10-year-old living today might hold over 6 cups, quite nice. 1.5 cups might measure the brain of a chimpanzee frisky and nimble, and the rice that would measure my sister's brain could probably fit in a thimble. There we go.
Back to Sesame Street. Has it lived up to your expectations over the
You know,
past
it really has. I mean, it is really, I think, right now as good as it ever was. It keeps up with the times socially. It keeps changing that way, you know, some of the old material is still shown on every show, so that on every show you might have something that's brand new and something that's 25 years old. And it's still something to be proud of for me.
Have you been disappointed in any way by the show, now or over the years?
You know, the only way that I've been a little not with the show itself, I mean, because of the fact that there's competition now, because of the fact that there's less public money available, the show has been... It's been necessary for the show to make more money than it did before, and so it's become a bit more commercial than it was, but not the show, the merchandising of the show. But you know, it's absolutely necessary because that's what keeps it on the air. The show itself has, I can't even think of a time that it's disappointed me now.
You have a 6-year-old son now. You became a father relatively late in life, age of 48. How has that transformed your perception of Sesame Street, working on the show itself?
Yeah, the only thing that it's actually opened my eyes to is what everybody else was using the show for all these years, where I could say when he was 2 or 3, my God, I can go in and brush my teeth or shave and leave him on the bed, and he's going to be okay. He's going to keep watching. Nothing harmful is going to be shown to him, and that's what everybody's been talking about for these 20-odd years. The show itself has not been, you know, I do the same thing. None of the people who began writing it had kids. I think a number of the books that I've written since he's born probably would not have been written had he not been born because of their subject matter. I've written a couple of, the last book I wrote was called The Dad of the Dad of the Dad of Your Dad, which was came out for Father's Day, and the stories about dads and kids throughout history, beginning in deep prehistoric times and moving forward through the Renaissance and Old West and to current and ending up in the future. And I've done a book called Bob and Jack about a boy and his yak, which has to do with generational things, and a book called Hieronymus White about a bird who believed he was always right that dealt with 5 generations. So I think those are the kinds of things that I wouldn't have done had he not been born, but it's more that it has caused me to think about certain things rather than changing my approach.
Point of View on WNUA 95.5. Our guest is Jeff Moss, the co-creator of Sesame Street and the author of a collection called Bone Poems, a tribute to dinosaurs, early mammals, and other old stuff.
Anatotitan had oodles of teeth, hundreds on top and more hundreds beneath. If someone passed by and said, "What are you doing?" the most likely answer would be, "Shh, I'm chewing." Now, back in those days, with no dentists to mention, nature came up with a clever invention. If ever he broke, cracked, or injured his teeth, wonder of wonders, new teeth were beneath. Just teeth, teeth, and more teeth. How strange and exciting. A dinosaur set for a lifetime of biting. Anatotitan must have been scary, especially if you were the dino tooth fairy.
This collection went to press, of course, before the Field Museum came up with its prize acquisition of Sue, the biggest T-Rex fossil ever found. Anything you want to dedicate to our latest Chicago paleontological resident?
Absolutely. Back 65, 80 million years ago, when Tyrannosaurus was roaming the Earth, cockroaches also existed, very much like the cockroaches we have today. So there's a poem called Odd Pair, dedicated to Sue at the Field Museum. Tyrannosaurus, king of beasts, once ruled the ancient earth. Huge and nasty, fierce and mean, with strength of highest worth. Now in the world at that same time, on nature's grassy rug, there crawled the lowly cockroach, who is not my favorite bug. Yes, little roaches scurried down the path that T-Rex trod. The two might pass each other by without a word or nod. Oh, mighty T-Rex, tiny roach, there's not much more to say except tyrannosaurs are gone and roaches live today. These facts may come in handy on some prehistoric quiz, for this story has a lesson. I'm just not sure what it is.
What's coming up on Sesame Street? Now, the new season is about to begin, right?
New season is about to begin. The highlight of it, if you will, is Slimy the Worm is going to go to the moon. And that is going to go over a few weeks. And he joins, I think it's instead of NASA, it's WASA, because the W is for worm. And he and a few other worms and a chicken go to the moon. On another note, I've just written the first Ernie and Bert song since Jim died.
Jim Henson, creator of the Muppets.
And that was just taped about a week ago. And I'm writing a song now for Celine Dion, who's going to be a guest on the show, and that'll be taped next month. And it's year 29, and it's still going strong.
Point of View on WNUA 95.5. Our guest has been Jeff Moss, whose book is Bone Poems, 1495 from Workman, and for whom we are eternally grateful for his contributions to our culture by way of his role in creation of and maintenance of Sesame Street, and long may it wave. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks a lot, Charlie.
I'm Charlie Meyerson. Thanks for listening.
Rub-a-dub-dubby, rub-a-ducky, you're so fine. And I'm lucky that you're mine. Rubber ducky, I'd like a whole pond of. Rubber ducky, I'm awfully fond.